to run around naked on a deserted island. ということで。
And welcome once again to Morning Radio, your English language podcast source for everything and anything Asian culture and entertainment. This is the official podcast of Morning Project, and I am your host, Eric Patterson. Along with me here today are...
John Curry.
Tony Durbin.
And Dave Garcia.
And Adam Dunlap.
Who is driving as he talks to us and is gonna, by the end of this show, die in a fiery crash. So we're all excited about that. So, without further ado, we're going to jump into the section that we always do to kick off our podcast, and that is our top lists. Now, it used to be our top five list, but due to laziness and picking five items a week and time considerations, we are making it to, once again, the top three list. And surprisingly enough, I am going to go first this week. I said that, and I realized I don't have three things. I have two
good
things.
Good job.
I need one. Okay, let's start off with number three is going to be Superman. I went and saw Superman yesterday, the new movie.
How was it?
It was very, very good. It actually plays very nicely into the older movies, which was kind of cool. And it was, the airplane scene that you see in the trailers was very fun. So, I enjoyed that. My number two is, I just forgot, oh my god. I'm already bringing this show down here. Cody, while I'm preparing the rest of my list, why don't you go next?
Okay. Good job, good job.
I know.
Number three is a Leiji Matsumoto anime called Space Symphony Meito. It's pretty good. I've only watched a few episodes of it so far. It's the prelude to Galaxy Express 3-9, so it explains, you know, why she's, you know, fighting the good fight. I don't want to give too much away. But it's pretty good. Number two is a brand new anime that's out there, and it's called Oran High School Host Club. It's really good. It has lots of pretty guys in it, so if you're into that kind of thing, check it out. Yeah, Adam, don't get too excited.
I'm going to start watching anime again.
It's about a girl who dresses, or, you know, she doesn't really care about genders, but when she was trying to find a place to read, she ended up at the school's host club, which, if you don't know what a host club is, Google it. But she ends up breaking one of the vases, and she has to pay off the debt by being one of the hosts, even though she's a girl. They just pretend she's a boy, because none of the other students know that she's a girl. It's really funny. And number one is actually a song. It's the opening song for Blackjack 21, and it's called Destiny Taiyo no Hana by Shimatani Hitomi, and I really like it because I think it really fits the whole Blackjack theme, and it's a pretty powerful song. It's not really poppy or anything, but everyone should listen to it and see and watch Blackjack 21 at the same time.
All right. Don.
Okay. Number three is the band AFI, and not because they just released a new CD, but it's terrible. So it reminded me of how good, I went back and listened to their old music and realized how good they used to be. So I've been listening to a lot of their old music now, so that's why they're number three. Number two, I guess I had the same last week, JapanFiles.com, but that comes up once again because I just received a CD from them.
Oh.
Very exciting. 16
free?
Songs. A free CD, yeah, sounds special. called Fresh Cuts. I think it looks like it might be on sale because it's all professional with the barcode and everything.
And so it has a full case and everything like that.
Yeah, it is. Cool. I thought it was just going to be a sampler, but it looks... If it's not on sale now, it might be soon.
And what is it? Is it like a compilation?
It is, yeah. 16 indie songs, which are available on their website for download, I think.
Which is Japan... Does Japan, Japan Dash Files or Japan Files?
No, just Japan Files.
.com.
.com. Yes. And number one would be Chinese Girls.
What?
I don't think I need to further explain that one.
Oh my god.
Alright, I agree with you there. So, yeah. Adam, you got anything?
Sure. Well, my recent top three have been here a couple weeks. Number three will be my mustache. Because
wait, you got a mustache now?
Yes, I've been growing a mustache over the summer break.
just a mustache by itself.
Because I needed a hobby over the summer.
So you can grow a mustache?
Start growing a mustache. And it's getting to the length where I'm trying to decide whether to get rid of it or keep it. But
you should do, like, handlebars.
More procrastinate.
Yeah, you should, like the evil kind of genius. Or the, you know, tying the girls to railroad tracks. And...
Or like a German guy. Or, yeah,
I've been trying
to do it.
I was trying to get it long enough to, like, curl the ends up.
That would be, like, awesome.
Hair wax. Anyway. Number two. My mind is blank.
Don't be like Eric. Ugh.
That's fine. We can just do like number ones for us people who didn't prepare and do our homework. So
I should have wrote this down.
I know.
I'll move on to another one. My DS Lite should be number two.
Yeah. You know, so
that was probably number one.
We talked to Chango about, or I'm sorry, talked to Dave about his DS Lite, which people don't know about yet, but we'll get to that in a second. So how do you think about the DS Lite?
I really like it. I think the reason I was holding out on buying a DS was because I knew I'd play it too much if I got one.
But you can play it and grow your mustache at the same time.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of DS Lite.
What have you been playing the most?
The most played game I have is Castlevania, Dawn of Sorrow.
That's a good game.
It is pretty good. I was a little disappointed with the artistic style of it. The way it was executed just felt like a bad anime.
Well, that's going to be worse than the next
one. It was so fun. But yeah, I have a lot of DS games, and I've done that a lot.
Yeah, I've been way too addicted to Tetris DS Online recently. Which I have some big complaints about the damn people who play online, but that's for another time.
What's your complaint?
They suck. Well, like, people like, start... Okay, it takes forever to get four people in to play the game.
Right.
And then, like, after the first match, like, somebody will drop. And it's like, if you're not going to be in there for at least three games, don't even bother playing, you know? And just the droppers just piss me off. And then it's like, it sucks because if you find somebody who's really good and you're enjoying playing against, there's no way to add them to your friends list or no way to play against them again.
Yeah, I kind of miss that too.
So, anyway, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the DS is a online system has been a little lackluster for a lot of games.
Game number one? Are you done?
I guess I'm done because I can't remember what
that's
my one was.
We'll go to Chango and his one.
My one? No, I came up with three now.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Not too bad. My number three would have to be I went and saw Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drift, which is a really kind of bad movie.
We can't talk about that yet. We're talking about that later, aren't we?
I don't know.
Aren't we talking about that? Yeah, so you can't think.
Now we're
so just keep going.
Okay.
We'll, anyway, we'll come back to that.
It's on there. So, number two, I'm still stuck on Harvest Moon, Friends of Mineral Town.
Yay.
And I need to defend this and say it's so much more. It's not a farming sim. Okay. But that's a whole other show in itself. But anyway, I'm in winter season now, which has nothing to do with farming. It's like you're not allowed to farm during this whole season. So
get a hot house. Can you get hot houses? Is that
once you can afford one? I'm not there yet.
Oh, so why not?
Because I'm making friends around the town. It's fun.
Because the game is more Friends of Mineral Town. It's not more farming of Mineral Town. So you know.
Who cares, hot house, dude?
Yeah, you know, I haven't even touched my copy of that yet.
Why not?
I know. But then I also want to get Magical Melody for GS, for GameCube. The Harvest Moon Magical Melody. It's supposed to be really, really good, but... Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, my number one song, still stuck on Hanoi Team, with Sticky Tricky and Bang.
Sticky Tricky.
Oh, it's just so much fun.
Sticky and Bang.
One of our new post icons on the message forums.
Oh, you finally got back up?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
cafe.gomorning.com.
Go there. Whoa.
You want to come talk to us? Okay, well then, are you finished?
Yeah, that was my number one.
All right. I came up with at least one more really, really quick, and then we'll get on to this. Juno. She is a girl who enjoys having pictures taken of herself in many various aspects and levels of clothing wearing. And she is a gongoro, which, for those of you not familiar, those are those Japanese girls who like to tan their skin and kind of lighten their hair and wear very interesting outfits. And I'm in love with gongoros, and I've never met one, so I have to just keep dreaming.
I think that's a good thing.
But I might be going to Tokyo for Tokyo Game Show, so if I get to go, then I'm going to hunt one down.
I heard they're dirty.
No. There's a class of ones that are dirty, but not all of them are dirty. But I've met the schoolgirls, I've met the lowly goths, but I've never met a gongoro, because there weren't any in Osaka when I was there. So. And now that we know we have Japanese listeners, if there's any gongoros listening, you can send me your photo and email and phone number and... Yeah. All right.
I'm sure they'll get right on that.
They will get right on that. So, you know, before we actually get into everything, we should probably mention episode 4, which has now become our lost episode. It's coming next week, because we're going to have a little bit of a break next week, so we're going to be playing that episode next week instead of doing an actual real one. And, yeah, so that's why, if you're wondering why you've got episode 5 and episode 4, that's where it's at. So it is still coming, but various things happened where we just didn't get it out on time. So we decided to go ahead and do episode 5 and then get back to number 4. So moving on, let's start off this week with a little bit of news. And our news this week is a pink DS Lite.
Bah!
Yay!
Now, there seems to be a trend of, as soon as I buy a DS, Nintendo announces a pink DS, because the exact same thing happened last time with the previous one. So what is happening is that in late July, and I'll get you the exact date here, July 20th, Nintendo will be releasing the Noble Pink DS Lite. And I believe it is in conjunction with their cookbook game for the DS. And what's
really
kind of interesting is that this is the fourth DS Lite color, but they still are having troubles getting enough versions of the first three colors onto store shelves. So
I don't really like the color.
You don't?
I don't really like the shade.
I think,
like, that shade of pink?
I think it's the same shade of pink. I think the problem is before, because of the...
No, but this is the one I'm holding right now. It's candy pink.
Right.
The one they have is noble pink.
It's the same.
Obviously, Eric, there's a difference.
I think the problem is that it doesn't have the contrast. Because, like, the one you have, the one I have, has the pink and white contrast, which looks good.
Yes.
And I think...
And then it just has those ugly-ass pink buttons.
I think this being all pink doesn't look as proper as it should.
I'm fence-sitting now, even though I said, you know, like, last time I would be all up on it, but now I'm fence-sitting because it's just so...
Is it in Japan only?
Probably, but I mean, they did actually bring out the pink one. Well, they kind of brought the pink one to America for the old DS, but they changed it up so that it was pink and black instead of pink and white.
Yeah, and it's ugly.
But yeah, I mean, for right now, America's only white and Europe is black and white, which is kind of interesting because Japan doesn't have a black yet. They have the navy blue, but they don't have a black.
I think the navy blue one's pretty hot.
Anybody else care at all?
I am perfectly happy with my white one.
You're happy with your white one?
Yeah, I like the white, too.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
See, I'm the kind of person who has to have a different one that nobody else has, so...
I'm with you, Eric.
I'll get the pink DS Lite, and then I'll combine it with my white DS to have the white buttons and the pink DS.
Okay, if you can get
that
done...
You can take it apart and swap out parts.
Yeah.
Yeah, if someone successfully does that, let me know, because then I want them to do that.
Because, like, on the aforementioned message forums that you shall be going to, I posted a couple of Photoshops of what I thought the color scheme should be like. And so I think I'm going to try, when I get my pink one, to see if I can do something like that.
Yeah, that would be really nice, because I don't really like the pink on pink. I mean, that's even ugly on, like, Lolita clothes, let alone a DS.
Yeah, there needed to be some sort of contrast there. But...
That'll be the next release.
Yep. For our next, I think that's, unless anybody else has any news items. Anybody?
Nope.
All right. Then let's get into the thing we've been talking about for a while now. Utada Hikaru's recent album release, Ultra Blue.
Which is now an old release.
Which is now an old new release.
It's good house cleaning music.
Well, you could say it was 4 years in the making.
4 years.
Now, okay, before we get to this real quick, let's go take a little bit of a trip back in time to a little album called Exodus, which was Utada's American release. Now, initially, we all had very strong opinions on that album. But I want to know, all this time later, what do we think about Exodus?
I like it. At first I was like, WTF! But now that, you know, I've had time and lots of years to listen to it, I think it's okay. I mean, it's not a completely strong album, but it doesn't suck.
You know, I was in the...
For me?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, you're going to talk?
No, go ahead.
I'll say something. For me, Exodus is my favorite album of hers.
Really?
Really?
Which is kind of a... it's kind of a guilty pleasure for me. I know her other albums sound more musically better, and I really don't like to play Exodus while other people are around. But I really like Exodus.
You ashamed?
I am ashamed. But I love it.
Don, what do you think?
Well, nothing memorable. In my opinion, I guess.
Oh my god!
I don't hate it as much as I first did, I guess, but it doesn't really stick out in my mind as something I would go back and listen to again. I'm past it now.
Dave,
To me, it's just so different from her normal stuff. You know, everything relating to the music, just even her voice, even the way she sings, is she sings things differently in it. It's like you didn't realize she has kind of a low voice.
Mm-hmm.
Almost sounds a little bit like Madonna, like Madonna's latest albums or latest releases. Anyway, she's got that voice, and it's just like that's so not like her. Well, at least what I'm used to hearing from her. Because you know I really like her voice, and I think she's got a great voice, and you know it's really powerful too. And this that album, she really doesn't exercise it to its full capacity, it seems. So that's why I felt it was lacking.
Now, I guess real quick, I initially didn't like the album, but, you know, it's actually really grown on me. And I'm not, I wouldn't go as far as Adam would and say it's her best album, but I actually...
Well, I'm not really saying it's her best, but it's...
Your favorite, I'm sorry, your favorite.
His favorite.
But, you know, I think there's a lot, and this was kind of like what my next question was going to be was, you know, were we expecting too much from it? Because it's, you know, it's her trying to be a little bit more experimental, which I think, I don't know, because I mean, like as a, coming off Deep River, as a, you know, hiki album, I didn't think it was really good, but now that I can go back and get away from those expectations I had originally for it, I can much more appreciate it than I could before. So... And it has, it still has what I think is one of her best songs, which is Kremlin Dusk, of course. But, you know, I'm like Animato is really, really good, and Hotel Lobby is really good, and I don't know, it grew on me, so.
I like Tippy Toe.
Tippy Toe is pretty good.
So, I think all the songs are really catchy on there. I think that's Utah's strongest point, is she's really good at making a catchy melody.
I will agree that some of the lyrics are still a little questionable. But.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know how in English everyone's got to try to rhyme.
Right.
So I think she was just trying to rhyme too hard.
But so we came off of Deep River, which was a huge
really
album.
Good.
And really good. And so we had Exodus, which a lot of people weren't happy with. So Ultra Blue was indeed a very anticipated album. And a long-awaited album. So it came out, and... Well, I mean, I don't like it.
Why not?
It nowhere near compares to Deep River. Nowhere near as good. And there are... I'll tell you the songs I do like. Let me go to iTunes here and tell you which ones. Ultra Blue...
I think the only ones that stood out for me were actually the singles.
Really?
See, I think the singles, like, and other than the singles, This Is Love, the first song on the album, I really like that song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was like my favorite non-single song.
My favorite is Passion, the very last. See, was that a single? I don't
yes,
remember.
Yeah,
but
it is.
Yeah.
I may sound crazy here, but I like the English version better. I like Sanctuary
better. For Passion?
Yeah, I like Sanctuary better.
Hmm.
No, I really like Keep Trying.
Well, yeah, me too, but yeah.
Yeah.
But This Is Love is my favorite non-single song.
I think other than This Is Love, all of the non-single songs were just worthless.
Well, I like...
They're worthless?
I think they're worthless.
Worthless?
They're very repetitive, very similar.
Because
I really like the third track, Blue.
Yeah, I did too. I thought
that was my favorite new song on the album.
You know,
it's weird, that kind of reminded me of, I hope this isn't too obscure, but did y'all ever watch Twin Peaks?
A little bit of it.
Man, it had a really distinct soundtrack, and it had a very distinct sound, and that song really kind of takes you right back to that. It's really kind of, you know, dark symphony type of music, and I really got that feeling from that, and I really, really liked it because of that.
I guess just for me, you know, I mean, Deep River was so good, and every song on there had its own feeling to it and stood out, and you had so many songs on there that really had, like, this unique Utada Hikaru sound and feeling to them. And that feeling's missing off this album, I think. Just so many songs sound like they could just be from any old J-pop artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, another song that I liked on this was, I liked Kaido, because I thought it was really pretty. Like, if it was any longer, I think it would have failed miserably, but I think it being short and pretty like that, it was a nice little filler song.
Yeah, to me, actually, a lot of these seem like filler songs.
That, yes.
I mean, I hate to say that because, you know, I really love her voice again, but it's just, you know, I think she's got a great voice, but the music, I think, you know, it's missing that certain something that all her other songs kind of had, you know.
Right.
The catchiness.
I definitely agree with you there. So one of the big reasons I loved Exodus was because it was so different from all other stuff. It felt much more personal to me. Which I know it was. Most of the album was you know, written by her, you know, alone in her house on her laptop. And also because of that, I thought the song quality didn't sound as polished or as good. But I really liked the fact that it was a new side of Yutata.
Yeah.
And I just really enjoyed that. But on Ultra Blue, it still sounds kind of Exodus-y, but it sounds like she's trying to graft in some of her older stuff too. And it's just not working for me. It all kind of sounds like filler, like Tango said, or whatever. Even the single tracks I thought were bad. As for actual album, I mean, the album sounds, it sounds like a collection of singles plus still has to make it long enough for a real album. And the old singles on the album, they feel like they're so far from her newer style that they just don't really mesh together, and I would have rather seen her do a whole album based on one style than try to throw them all together.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. It does have that where it's like everything kind of doesn't fit together as one piece. Like, you know, as you say that, Exodus really did. It really did, you know, fit together as a full type
right.
of sound.
That was one thing I really liked, because I really like albums where they all kind of, all the songs kind of run together and I can just listen to the whole thing over and over. And I really don't pick out any song in Exodus as, oh, this is my favorite and this is the strong single, because usually whenever I put it in, I end up listening to most of the thing if I put it in my player. Whereas Ultra Blue, nothing really, really stood out as being unique and new. A lot of the songs, they kind of reminded me of older songs of hers. Like, Keep Trying, and I know the actual song Keep Trying doesn't really sound too much like Traveling, but if you watch the video,
yeah,
it looks
I was thinking the same thing
very
with
much
the,
like
with
Traveling.
The first track.
Probably
the
same
director. I was thinking that.
Yeah,
I was thinking Love
Relief. And then there were a couple other songs on the album. I can't think of the exact names, and I'm not from a computer right now. But there was a song that has this really Latin sound. Oh, but that sounded a lot like another song on Deep River. And then there was the beginning of, I think, that Daraka no Negai something. That song, it sounds like the beginning of another song on, I think, Distance. But that song, it sounds like the beginning part of that song. Whereas that song, after that piano intro, it kind of changed into something that I liked. Daraka just kind of keeps going. And I really like that song.
I liked Daraka, though. Like, it's one of those, like you said, one of the older songs. Like, one of the older singles. I really liked it, though, when it first came out. I still like it. Same with Colors. Like, I like Colors a whole bunch. It was one of my, like, favorite songs back in the day when it was released. But the one I didn't like was, I didn't really like Be My Last, because I really didn't like it to begin with. And
yeah.
I didn't really like the One Night song. Like, I thought it was really weak. Like, it was One Night would be one of those songs that I would skip.
Yeah. I didn't like that one either.
Yeah, that was the one that had that Latin sound.
Yeah, I didn't really like it all that much.
I think that Deep River just spoiled me. Just because, I mean, you had like Sakura Drops sounded just so awesome. And just like so like nothing I had heard, you know, for a long time. And Traveling was so good, and Hikari was so good, and there were so many strong songs. Like, almost every song on Deep River, I think, was, like, a great, strong song. And, like, almost none of them felt like filler. And then here, there's, like, has been said, there's just too much filler to justify it being a full album.
Well, I think her older stuff, it just sounded more polished and more well done. I want to think that it was because she had a team of writers helping her doing stuff, and that as she's progressed, she started doing stuff more by herself. And because of that, her music isn't as polished pop music. But it feels like her older stuff was more well-produced and more just refined. And as she's put out Exodus and Ultra Blue, her music hasn't really evolved. It almost feels like it's regressed. That it hasn't really gotten any more refined. It's just like changed styles. Mm-hmm. And as it's changed styles, it hasn't gotten any better.
Well, I don't want to Well, I guess she's as big as the Beatles, I imagine. But if I was going to compare it to like the Beatles album, Revolver, that's what it reminds me of. Or Rubber Soul, even, I guess, if you want to go back, for anyone who knows what the hell I'm talking about. It was like, you know, they did all this poppy, like, She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah songs, and then all of a sudden they completely kind of switched and ended up doing a more, I guess you could say drug-induced sound if you want to go that way, but what it could remind me of is that even though Rubber Soul, which wasn't a very polished album like this one is, it's not very polished, what ended up happening is, you know, they ended up going on and making, like, Revolver and Sgt. Pepper and really good albums. So I think this album is kind of like a stepping stone for her. Like, it's not very, you know, refined and stuff, but maybe it could go on to something better. Maybe. Hopefully.
Maybe. Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel about the album, too. Listening to it just felt like there was so much potential in how the music could be improved on. And I guess because I kept feeling that way while listening to it, I don't really like it as much.
Yeah, I don't think it sucks. I mean, I think it's a good album. I don't think it's, like, the best she's ever done, but it doesn't suck.
I still enjoyed the album. I listened to it. I've listened to it quite a few times. I didn't listen to it just, like, once or twice, and then, I don't like this. I'm not going to listen anymore. I still enjoy listening to it, but I just want more from her now, you know, after what she's done in the past, I guess.
Understood. Or understandable.
So, final rating on this album? What do we think? Good? Bad? Don't care?
If you're a Hiki fan, you should get it. If you're just a casual J-pop
listener, you'll find stuff in it that you'll like in it, for sure.
Don?
If you're a Hiki fan.
Average, I guess.
Average.
Nothing. I listened to it over and over again, but nothing pops out yet. So, yeah.
I say, you know, if you don't have any of her albums, get Deep River. And if you do, buy it used. Fly to Japan and find it used somewhere. There you go.
Yeah, okay.
So, with that said, let's move on and let's talk about a young girl by the name of Keiko Kitagawa. Now, some of us here know much more than some of us here.
Yeah, don't faint, you guys.
So,
I can see, like, Adam and Dave, like, oh my god.
So why don't one of you two tell us, first of all, who she is and where we might know her from before what we know her from now.
Okay. Adam? I need this one. Well, Keiko is a model / actress right now. Her current rating on the list of Japanese women that guys want to date is number 493. So she's still fairly unknown.
No. Is there an actual list out there like that that I can go look at?
Yes.
I remember the list.
I think the list is done by a magazine or something. But yeah, I can send you a link to the website. Huh. I can put it on the show notes or something.
Who's number one?
Yeah, there's an actual list. I think I read it. Pretty surprising
what's in the list.
Yeah, Away to Eye is definitely
really?
One of the
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Good choice.
Yeah,
not number one, but anyway.
She's my number one. But anyway.
She's been a model for 17 magazine.
She's a model for 17.
For quite a number of years, I guess. At least, 5 years?
I don't know. When did Sailor Moon come out? That was in 2003. Was it early in 2003?
I think it's 2002.
It was 2002? Alright, well, yeah, I guess she has probably for about 5 years. She was Miss 17 for 17 Magazine about a year before she started her role as Sailor Mars in Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon, the live-action version of the popular manga and anime. And that's where most people know her from.
She was hot.
Recent works, she's in Fast and the Furious 3. She plays the girl who's always chewing bubblegum. She's always doing something.
Now, is that her official name in the movie? The girl who's always chewing bubblegum? Or did she...
No, her official name is Reiko, which I really thought was cool because that was her name when she was a pop star in Sailor Moon. But she's in Fast and Furious 3. She's got another movie coming up called Mamiya Kyodai.
Called what?
She's in another movie, Mamiya Kyodai. Okay. I'm not really sure what it's about. A couple of comedian guys and some cute girls are in it. And she's also in a movie, which I don't remember the Japanese name, but it's something like Lady in the Water is the translation. It's based on a manga series.
But it was pretty cool that she was over here for the premiere, she did the whole red carpet walk with the rest of the actors and such. There was no mention of her anywhere about any real recognition that she did it from anywhere. But I did find a site that had some red carpet pictures, and they had about maybe six of them.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to register for that site and get those pictures.
So,
because I can't find them anywhere else.
So now, who of us here has seen Fast and Furious 3?
I have not.
Has it?
Yes, it's me and Dave.
Just you and Dave?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then real quick, I'm pretty much avoiding the movies for the most part. So for anybody who hasn't seen Fast and Furious... Now, this one is set in Tokyo, and is about drifting, which we understand from the name Tokyo Drift. Is there any reason to see these movies? Or and not these movies, but this particular one. Is there any reason at all?
If you want to see Keiko.
I only watched one of the other Fast and Furious movies, and I really didn't like it. But this one was definitely better than that one.
I think it's actually kind of probably going to upset a lot of racing fans because it's it's really kind of dumbed down and naive and the whole thing. From what I've seen it, drifting is supposed to be all about style. And looking cool and while you're racing and. The movie seems to kind of miss that.
If you guys remember, anyone who plays Mario Kart DS, drifting's one of the main things that you have to master.
Get your
initial D too.
Blue spark.
That's what
Which is kind of funny. Why this guy who says he's been racing since he's got his license has never heard of drifting when he shows up in the movie.
That does kind of not make sense. my grandma knows about drifting. What the heck?
I think mine does.
So now, are you saying anything kind about it at all? partially because it's just set in Tokyo and that it was interesting from that aspect.
Actually, no, I think it kind of did the whole disservice to the image of Japan in general.
Did it?
It kind of almost, yeah, it almost made it seem like it's just like a big brothel. And it's just like, you know, it's not really, you know, like that.
Well, I really didn't mind how they executed the setting. I mean, I kind of thought if they set it in Japan, they go for like a, ooh, check this out, this is Japanese, this is weird, you know, that thing. But there's very little actual like recognition of it being Japan. I mean, the movie could take place in California.
Yeah.
It really didn't use Japan as being like, you know, too much of a drawing feature for the movie.
Yeah, no real culture shock moments, you know, well, very few. But,
maybe because you guys are just, you know, like predisposed to them.
And there were a couple actors in the movie who are, you know, famous Japanese actors. And I kind of like seeing them show up for a few seconds on the screen.
Like who?
I don't know their name.
Oh.
So where do you recognize them from?
I think he was called Handsome Guy in the credits.
It's Sumo Buki. Sumabuki.
Yeah, Sumabuki. He's only there for like 5 seconds. He started the first Tokyo race. And then the teacher of the class that the main character goes into when he first arrives in Japan, she's another actress I recognize. I believe she played one of the characters in Denshi Otsuka. But not one of the characters anybody cares about, of course.
So we have the...
Except for that, there's a...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sonny Chiba played a gangster in the movie, too. Right? He got a little more airtime than the other celebrity. Well, I like that kind of nod.
All right. That's way more time than we should have given to Tokyo. I mean, Fast and Furious, but because Keiko's.
But Keiko looks so great in the movie. You have to watch it.
So basically, wait for the dollar theaters and then go see it for her. Right.
And she does have one line in the movie, I think, and it's what? Do you remember what it was?
I wasn't yeah. looking. She said her line in Japanese. And I wasn't going to take the time to look at the subtitle while she was on the screen. So I really don't remember what she said. Something about
all the things she said. She came in on the screen and said, "Hey,
hey." That's her big American debut.
Like, oh, how cute!
So to go back for a second to this Japanese girlfriends list. Somebody just passed me along the list, or parts of it at least. And the top 10 girls. Yeah, I don't know a lot of these. Otsuka Ai is number 7.
She's pretty.
Ito Misaki is number 6. Kato.
Ito Misaki, she's my number 2.
Is she? Number 5 is Kato Ai. Number 4 is Aibu Saki. Number 3 is Ebihara Yuri. Wow, number 2 is Nakama Yukie.
I'm surprised with that one.
And
she's not that great.
Now, this is who I'm thinking it is, right? It's the Goksen? Yeah, I love her.
Yeah.
No, so she told me she should be number 2. I absolutely agree with that. I'm in love with her. So, and number 1 is Uedo Aya. Wow, that's crazy. I can't believe she's number 1.
If I was gay, I'd want to date her. I
can't believe that's number 1.
Gotamaki is pretty far down there.
Yeah, some of the
The girls from Hello Project have been slipping.
Yeah, the Hello Project girls number 34 is Matsuda Aya, number 47 is Natsumi Abe, 81 is Yaguchi Madi, 101 is Kono Asami. Wow, Asami is higher than Maki and Miki and all these other girls.
It's because she's smart and cute and knows how to cook.
116 is Fujimoto Miki. 134 is Takahashi Ai. 142 is Tsuji Nozomi. So no beat out Maki.
What?
Number 150 is Goto Maki. Number 162 is Ishikawa Rika. Number 174 is Kame Eri. And 186 is Tanaka Reina. Wow. So Nono beat out Maki, Asami beat out Maki, Yaguchi beat out Maki.
Wow.
That's crazy. Okay, here we go. And Kago Ai is 216. Sayumi is 303. Ida Kaori is 362. Nakazawa Yuko is 362.
Awesome.
And Nigaki Risa is also tied for 362. Ogawa Makoto is 493. I don't know. I'm not sure who that is. And then some other girls I don't know her.
It's she bought the Ayumis from Mel and Kinenbi.
Yeah, she's from
Mel. Are we gonna give a name? Nanba Ann? Is that her name?
Yeah, Namba Ann, and is 493 as well. And then Satoda Mai is 493. And this is from Idolizing Saint Anna, by the way, the blog. And it says, in addition, no single person out of 10,000 did not vote for Kusumi Koharu and Yasuda K.
Oh, I like K. I wouldn't vote for her, but I like
Kay. The only member of Sweets on the list was Miori. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Oh my god. Wow. So.
There's just so many others to choose from.
I don't understand Japan sometimes. Anyway.
Wait, so which one was Miori again?
Miori was the, okay, she wasn't the one who nobody knew who was, and she wasn't the leader, and she wasn't the two main singers, so she was the last one. She was the one that looks like Aki. She kind of looks like Aki, but isn't Aki.
Okay, so she was the one, alright.
So like I said, she wasn't the short-haired girl that was always in the background, and she wasn't, of course, Aya or Haruna. And she wasn't Aki, so she was the one other one.
That's cool.
Anyway, we are going to do something new this week. We're going to do listener mail. It's new this week because we actually have listener mail.
Did anybody win a prize? Who won the prize?
Nobody knows about the prize yet.
Oh, we don't know about that, right.
So yes, when you guys listen to the last episode, you'll note that we said there was a prize for the first listener mail we got. But we actually got the listener mail in before the announcement of the prize, so we'll probably give them a prize, you know. Come up with something for these two people. So we got two pieces of listener mail. The first comes from an unnamed person in Spain. So both of our listener mail are international. So this podcast is staffed by Canadians and Americans. And both of our countries let us down. Our first two pieces of mail are not from this continent. So the first piece of mail says, hi there, I'm a listener from Spain, and I've been listening to your podcast since the second episode, and I really like it. I love the Oricon rankings and preview stuff, and I think you should include more music between talks. New music or the ones you like. Which we are, by the way, kind of maybe working on doing something like that. Anyways, I'm looking forward for the next episode since you'll be talking about Hiki's new album. And he says he's a total fanboy of hers. I really, all in capital, hope Eric doesn't criticize it too badly because I just loved it. Anyways, maybe you should include a section in which people, your listeners, whoever, could talk about recent PVs and make some kind of review. It's just an opinion, though. Keep the hard work. I really enjoy what you're doing.
I agree with the PV recommendation.
Which we are, we're talking about, and hopefully maybe next episode, is instead of doing our very long top lists at the beginning, what we're thinking of doing is like a item of the week and then a recommendation. So we might be working on something like that.
Something I recommended a long time ago.
I know.
It takes the emails to get it.
Yeah, we don't actually listen to our staff as far as recommendations. We have to listen to our listeners.
Nobody likes me.
So, his email name, I won't get the whole thing, is Urano the God. Okay, so whatever your real name is, thank you for the email. And if you would like to email us back with your full address, we will send you a prize for being one of our two first listener males.
Yeah.
Wow.
And sorry for criticizing Utada's album so badly.
Yeah, well, we didn't do it too bad, but you know, it's meh.
Yeah.
I wanted to defend it, but it's just not her best. Right. I hope you understand.
We still love her, of course. It's just we love her other albums. Our second...
This won't discourage me from buying her next.
Yeah. No, she'll get back into it. Everybody has a bad album, though. You know, that happens. Our next listener email comes from a Japanese girl. So not only do we have something from Japan, but we have an actual girl listening to us. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. Cody has some support.
I can't believe this.
It might be fake, but I don't know. It's from Satomi. And she says... that I'm going to paraphrase it. Is that she listened to our morning radio program, and she's Japanese, and she's very interested in what North Americans think about Japanese music and our viewpoints on it. She said it was a little bit boring during us talking about the Oricon, partially because nobody knew about some of the songs, and they were just kind of bored themselves talking about it. And she'd like to hear us talk about more fun stories about, you know, whatever. She says thank you. And there you go. So that was our second email.
Yay!
Exciting.
And Satomi, same with you. If you want to send us an email with your address, we'll send you a prize for being one of our first listener males. Of course, the prize we send you probably won't be very exciting to you, since it's probably giving me something, you know, Asian culture related, and you can just buy that stuff at your local 7-Eleven or whatever else.
Send it to me then.
You know, also along with that, the Oricon thing, as of this episode, we're changing up a little bit. So, we're gonna try to make that a little more streamlined, so it doesn't just get a bunch of us having no idea about something. But I mean, I think even recently though, we've been doing pretty good at that.
Yeah, because most of the people on the Oricon lately are people that I'm actually familiar with.
Well, as seems to be tradition with this podcast, we have to say goodbye to Dave.
Aww. We love you, Dave.
Already.
So, we have to get our asses in gear and actually get this podcast recorded earlier in the day.
So Dave
doesn't keep leaving us.
I'd much rather do this later. While I'm not out running around.
Oh, you guys just...
Yeah. All right. Well, good yeah. time, y'all. I'm going to be... I'm going to London for...
He's going to London for a week. Yeah. That's so
have
unfair.
Lots of fun. Take lots of pictures.
I've never been to London.
All right, me next time.
Later.
Okay, see y'all later.
Bye.
See ya.
So that was our listener mail. And as always, if you want to send us listener mail, you can send it to radio@gomorning.com. That's radio@gomorning.com. And we very much value your email so that we can know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, what we need to change. And of course, you know, anything at all you want to say, if you have any questions you want us to answer, if you just want to tell us how much you love us, you know, anything at all, send it in.
Or if you want to see pictures of Adam's mustache.
Or yes, if you want to see pictures of Adam's mustache.
All right. Yeah, I still have to post pictures.
We can do it as like our yeah. album art for the podcast, you know?
It'll be hot.
Now, Don, do you want to talk some morning scene news here?
I guess I could talk about that. Hopefully it's not too late, but... Do we all... July 1st, does that sound important to anybody?
July 1st?
July 1st is next week?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's on Saturday, woo.
Canada Day.
okay.
Anyways.
And what is Canada
well,
Day?
People will listen to this before then.
That's important. Well, it's important to morning scene because Japanese punk band called Frog Pilot from Osaka will be playing in Toronto on Canada Day at the Smiling Buddha Bar at 9 o'clock p.m.
Are you going?
I will be working, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
You need to get a new job.
I do.
You're not working. But that...
There's not much exciting news other than that in the
morning
scene.
The whole working thing.
Yes. But I've just found out about this band recently, but I guess they played a lot of shows in the Toronto area, at least, and in North America.
Hmm.
Frog Pilot. Very
obscure. Yeah, I've never heard of them.
Frog Pilot?
Frog Pilot. Yes.
Toronto gets a lot of good bands.
Well, not many Japanese bands lately.
No, I'm just saying in general.
It's at the center of the universe.
Right. I'm gonna come.
Or the center of the music industry in Canada, at least. That's the point.
That's the problem with America being so big, is it's like, you know, the cities where all the fun stuff is are so far away from some of the other cities. It's like in Japan, you only got a couple big cities, you know, so it's pretty easy to go catch all these kind of shows, but we got two.
Well, it's even worse in Canada. I just happen to live in a big city.
Yeah, but you, right. I think you guys have less big cities than we do, though, so.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's so
but
mean.
I mean, they're so far apart.
No, like, hey, a lot of their land is just mooses and trees, you know, so I mean.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, I love you, Canada.
No
I'm going for the Canadian hate mail this week, so.
Well, I love Canada.
Hopefully you have some listeners. Yeah.
It's my second home, yo.
And, you've always got the iTunes list there, so people can find out what on iTunes Music Store is around.
Of course,
that's always
there.
Around.
iTunes Music.
And.
That is.
All your information for upcoming other shows and everything.
Yep, show
and
list.
Where can we find Morning Scene at?
At scene.gomorning.com.
And it is for North American Japanese music.
North American.
Like shows.
Performances, releases.
Definitive source.
The definitive source. And I just created a fancy Ajax feedback
Ooh.
Form, which is how I found out about this Frog
wow.
Pilot show. This day after I made this.
Wow.
Yes.
That's hot.
So, for all the hot tips on iTunes and shows, send
yes,
it to
yes.
Me.
So if not only if you're looking for hot tips, if you have hot tips, you should go to scene.gomorning.com.
Yes.
And you can tell us your hot tips. Well, as our last major part of this show, we're going to do, as always, the Oricon Top 10. But this week it's going to be a little bit different. What we're going to do from now on is we're going to go through the list, we're going to tell you everything that's on the list, and then afterwards, if we have any comments, we'll do that, so that we're not starting and stopping for every single song. So we'll try this, and if you like this way better, let us know. If you like the old way better, let us know, you know?
Just let
us
know.
Damn
seriously.
So, for this week's Oricon Top 10, this is the Top 10 Japanese Music Singles. Number 10 is Good Day by V6.
Good
Number 9, Teru no Uta by Aoi Teshima. Number 8, Hello by Piero. Number 7, Diamond Wave by Kuraki Mai. Number 6, Daite Senorita by Tomohisa Yamashita, aka Yamapi. Number 5, Suzumiya Haruhi no Yutsu by Girls of Haruhi. Number 4, Ambitious, Yashin Tekire Ijan by Morning Musume. Number 3, Goodbye Days by Yui for Kaoru Amane. Number 2, Get Your Dream by Tokyo. And finally, your number one Oricon Top 10 single this week, for God knows what reason, Bluebird by Ayumi Hamasaki. So.
Okay, I have a correction. Number 5 is, that's the anime, is Suzumiya Haruhi no Yutsu, and the songs are God Knows, Lost My Music, and Koi no Mikuru Densetsu. It's just sung by the various girls of
Haruhi.
Gotcha,
okay.
I just wanted to make that correction.
Does anybody else hate Bluebird?
I didn't like it at all.
I don't hate it. I thought it was, you know, nice. I mean, I don't really like IU's voice all that much.
There's absolutely no reason for her to exist anymore.
No, it's just another in the line of disappointments. Ever since I am.
Okay, no. I will say that the one song. Okay. Because Rainbow had a couple of okay songs. And then Ourselves is a very, very good song. Other than that, just like all of her singles for the past at least year have just been just junk.
Yeah.
I'm not really a big fan of IU, so I can't say.
Yeah, I stopped listening about after Ourselves came out. So take your word on that.
But Ourselves was good, but as I said past that, she's just... And like... Okay, you know what? I purchased one song from her most recent album, which I didn't even know she had a most recent album. I purchased, what did I get from her? I don't know. I purchased one of the songs off of her. Let's see. Misunderstood. Criminal. I purchased Criminal. That's like the only thing I've cared about since Ourselves. So... Cody, you've got it. Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Here next to Piero. So do you want to talk about them a little bit?
Why? Yes, yes, I do. Just I might get a little emotional, so I might need a hug. Anyway, Hello is Piero's final single.
Really?
Yes, it is final. That's it. No more Piero.
What's happening to Piero?
I had a very misunderstanding between the two guitarists, IG and Jun. Kito, the vocalist, he's not really saying anything because you know it's Kito.
Of course.
So IG and Jun, the two guitarists, are both leaving. However, Kota, the bassist, Takeo, the drummer, and Kito, the vocalist, are going to stay together and form something else. So there's really no more Piero. And they're not having a final concert, and they just put out this single, and after this single, that's it.
So what was the misunderstanding?
Kito didn't say. He wouldn't say. He probably won't ever say. He'll probably write a song about it and be kind of obscure. And then everyone will be like, oh, that must be why Kito broke up. Anyway, the funny thing is that they're on Blowgrow, which is an independent label of Universal Japan. And the funny thing about Blowgrow is that it's run by former Lunacy bassist, Jay. That's his label. And I guess what I don't really understand is that Lunacy and Piero and some other bands used to be all on a label called Sweet Child Entertainment. And after Lunacy broke up, I guess they hadn't heard. I had no idea that they were still together. So what I'm not understanding is why Piero even signed on Blowgrow. I guess that they didn't understand. What was I trying to say? Oh, God. Anyway, the point is that Piero is on a former member of Sweet Child Entertainment. And that's really hot because Jay's my favorite, or one of my favorite artists, and Piero, but... I really liked Hello, and I thought it was kind of ironic that their last single is called Hello.
It should be Goodbye or something.
It should be,
That'd be too cliche, though. It's a good way to go out, I think.
That's not the Piero way, oh my god. But I really liked it, and I thought it...
Keep going.
Huh?
You don't need a guitar, so they just do something like White Stripes.
No, that's...
And sound bad?
Yeah, well, I mean, they couldn't be able to continue Piero if they didn't have all the original members. It wouldn't work that way, but everyone should really listen to it. It's really good.
It's good hard rock.
Oh, I'm sorry, I said Sweet Child was their label, but it's not. It was their promotional group. Like, they promoted Pedo and Lunacy and the Cream of Christy and Plastic Tree and all sorts of bands. And now Nightmare and PLC, or Psycho Lace Mew was on it too, but they've broken up too.
Yeah, they, what was their problem? Wasn't one of them a child molester or something?
No, Daishi, the lead vocalist, he was caught using speed. Yeah, so you know that's like pretty much death kill in Japan, like right there. So
almost as bad as smoking.
Other, pretty much, yeah. So when he went, you know, he was all like dethroned, and they broke up, and the other members went off to do their other things.
I liked them too. That sucked.
Yeah, they were, but. I'm really sad about Pedo because they were my band, man. I spent so much time and money on them. I skipped school for them.
Aww. So I was very busy with work this week, so I didn't get a chance to even listen to any of this list. Except for, I mean, I heard Bluebird before, but do we have any opinions on, like, the Morning Musume or the Karaki Mai or anything?
I enjoyed the Morning Musume. And Tokyo, Get Your Dream.
Yeah, Tokyo.
That was fun.
I do.
Upbeat, fun music, that was nice.
Yeah, I'll check Tokyo's out too. So.
No more ambitious songs. Dear Japan, no more songs about being ambitious. Okay, thanks.
My favorite word. Come on.
I know, because it, like Tokyo's Be Ambitious is like my one of my favorite songs, but no more ambitious songs.
So, that's our Oricon Top 10 for this week. Anything final?
Kotokumi's
not on there? Yeah?
No.
That's surprising.
But it's the second return of something from Suzumiya Haruhi no Yutsu. Because remember the first time we did it, there was a song from, like, an ending song from it. It was on the charts.
And, yeah, so there's a lot of new names on this week's. I mean, not new names, but I mean. So, does that about wrap it up for this week? Anybody else have anything else to say?
Do we want to talk about anything else? Because I can keep talking.
I went around and there wasn't too much. I did notice over on the Cult of Pop that, let me find it here, Cult of Pop, that Miki and Aya are going to be a unit.
Oh, yeah.
Making the unit, but they're dropping Gotamaki.
Yeah, so Fujimoto Miki and Matsuda Aya are going to be, and the absolute best part of this group, it's not
it's
just
name.
Aya, it's Great Aya. So it's
Great Aya.
Yeah,
Gam,
so it's Great
y'all.
Aya and Miki Gam. Making Gam.
This
Gam.
Group, this group would be better without Aya.
No way.
This group would be off.
Ow.
You know what? No, because I went back and I was watching the 52nd Kohaku, whatever the hell it's called, the New Year's Eve show. And you know what? Aya can really sing. I mean, she's one of the few people in Hello Project, I think, who actually can decently sing.
Yeah, I really like Aya.
Dude, she like carries
like,
Hello
I don't
Project.
Like stuff.
Yeah, okay, here it is. They're doing a song for the upcoming Sukeban Deka movie.
Oh yeah, that's the one that Aya
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's being the main character.
I just love that she's Great Aya. So great.
Well, she is. I mean, think about it. She carries, like, the entire weight of Hello Project on her shoulders.
I really do like Aya, though. I just wish that she'd stop singing ballads and get
Me
back
too.
To
Yeah. She wanted to get back to more of her, like, high-energy kind of stuff and...
It's like, okay, we know you're a grown-up lady. Get back to the high-energy stuff. No more ballads, please.
And she's cute, you know? That's always a plus.
I guess that helps.
But the only thing is, I wish they wouldn't keep calling these, like, units. Because they keep making these things, and they're around for, like, one song, and then they're gone. Like, you know, Gomaka.
Death Diva.
Gomako. What the hell is that thing called?
Gomato.
Yeah, Gomato, or Death Diva, or, you know, all these different things. Just say, hey, it's you know, Aya and Miki doing a song. Don't call them some unit or something.
I think Suku just wants to make up new names.
I think that is part of it. I think part of it, too, though, is that they just... He's one of those guys where he just throws everything at the wall, and whatever sticks, you know, then he'll go keep going on with. It's like, just try
damn,
anything you can
though.
Do, and... Damn!
That's what I would say when I see them in their
You're like,
in
damn!
Their costume. Damn! Look at their legs!
Oh, goodness gracious!
Yeah, this is what we should do for our segment. We just go to like different Japanese blogs and just read their news, not actually do anything our own.
Damn!
Like, oh, look, it's cute. Yeah, so, until next time. Yeah.
We did?
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah, we'll do some, you know what we should do next time? We should do, like, a J-drama roundup of, like, our favorite shows.
Attention, please, just ended, so.
Oh.
We should talk about that next week.
Yeah, so let's.
Yeah, the drama shows have all kind of ended.
I'm behind the other because
as well. I'm behind because I was watching a different show.
Oh,
Iguana Musume.
How's that going along?
Oh right.
Well, I'm glad you asked. I absolutely love that TV show. Yeah, it's really really cliche, but I just fell in love with. The whole thing. The main actress, Kanamiho, she like plays the typical like perfect Japanese schoolgirl, and I really didn't like her at first. I thought she looked exactly like the lizard, but I ended up falling in love with her. So I'm hunting down other works by her. No, and I just realized she was in that movie Dolls.
Is she?
But
I saw Dolls.
Yeah, I think she was the main, that first main girl who kind of mm-hmm. went crazy.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the series is really cliche. I don't want to, like, give any examples because they're all, like, plot points. But if you've ever watched a lot of drama, you'll just be kind of laughing because you've seen all these things happen before. But I think the style was... The style just really pulled it off nicely. It really feels like a typical shoujo manga from about the era, and I just really liked it. I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, so like next week, let's each recommend a drama to people. How about that? Or not next week, but the next show. Let's do that. Okay, well then, for our outro music this week, we have a song coming to us courtesy of Japan Files. I keep forgetting the name. JapanFiles.com. The kind folks over there gave us a few songs that we could use for our outro music. So this week we're gonna do. Should we do, let's see, which one of these do you recommend?
Poplar?
Poplar?
I recommend Poplar. The tree.
Poplar tree.
And, okay, then we're going to do Poplar with Asuka Matsuri as our ending theme. The love song from Morning Radio. Yes,
enjoy.
So for the dearly departed Dave and for Cody and Don and Adam... This is Eric. You've been listening to Morning Radio Episode 5. Thank you for listening. You can always visit us at gomorning.com where you can participate in our message forums or check out our radio page or do lots of other fun stuff. And we hope to see you here next time. And like we said, next week's vacation, so next week is the Super Secret Lost Episode 4. And after that, we'll be back. And hope to see you then.
Bye.叫び集めた木々火を灯し叫びの音色神の歌雲及び雨雲に変わり雨は夜星終わることなき感謝の踊り狂い時代や景気に関係はなく踊り歌えば花は咲く